do you ever see any, so to say, big companies and the government having agreements between themselves?
I've never seen that, but I'm sure that, as with any large group, they have a powerful lobby. You know, large industries band together, you know, and lobby the legislators to, you know, pass laws that are beneficial to them, or not pass laws that might hinder their business. How much effect this has on actual legislation, I don't know. But I could see where it would be very advantageous to businesses to do that, or to attempt to do that. But I have never directly seen any type of vote swaying by big businesses. But I'm sure that they would like to.
Okay, do you feel your work is helpful or hindering?
I think it's helpful, at least in my mind. Although I am directly working for a customer of mine, someone who may be polluting, I think in the long run it will help the environment. First off, it lets them know that they do or do not have a problem with their discharge. Secondly, we provide a sounding board for them, because a lot of times they're unaware of what the problem is or how to correct it. And we either have the knowledge or know people who do, or resources that can help them solve their problem. We help them identify their problem and also solve it. And most of our clients are very eager to abide by EPA regulations, stricter pollution control, because they have a genuine concern for the environment. They are concerned with the public image that they have. They don't want to be considered a nasty place. So I think my function and Guardian's function does help things, helps the whole situation in the environmental affairs region.
Well, you said most of the companies go about changing these things. Do you know of companies now that still abide by the EPA regulations?
Well, it goes back to those who are thinking it's going to cost them too much now. It's kind of a pay me now or pay me later thing. We've seen several companies now who have gone out of business, because 10 years ago, when the first, you know, when the regulations first really started to kick in, they were unwilling or unable to clean their act up. They did not or could not put in pollution control equipment, or did not hire people knowledgeable in environmental affairs. And now, 10 years later, it came back to haunt them. They discharged without any control of these polluting substances, and now, through fines, they got caught dumping things. They got caught emitting things out of the smokestacks, you know, that were flagrant violations. They had known about it, but they didn't want to do it earlier on. And then it finally caught up to haunt them. And now they've gone out of business, and there was fines and penalties for those who were in charge, several of the corporate officers. And it's going to take things like that, you know, the fines, the jail time, if necessary, to get the people in charge to be more aware of environmental affairs and the importance of preserving the environment.
Well, do you know of any examples you could give me without naming names?
A large lead plant in Leeds pretty much falls in the category of the example that I just spoke about. You know, several years ago, they were not willing or not able to provide the environmental pollution control equipment or personnel. And then within a 10 to 15 year period, they were caught discharging well above their limits. And the plant was shut down. and was determined to be a Superfund site for cleanup. They had scattered battery acid and lead waste throughout a community and went through considerable court settlements, court appearances, things like that, and after a while they just finally shut down. And it's taken a lot of taxpayers' money to clean up for the mistakes of, you know, a few people.
Do you ever try to change the results to fit the limits?
Many times, like with these people who are not willing to go along with EPA regulations, they would love for you to fiddle with their numbers, you know, and make them fit. But it's something that should not be done. There's considerable pressure because it costs them money. And there's considerable pressure to have all their numbers look real good. But it should not be done. Yeah, all the results should be true and accurate.
Does the company publish any literature?
We have not. We're primarily a testing and analytical lab. We have not got into the publication of literature. We do subscribe to numerous publications from other, from the government, from associations and societies and clubs and things like that that are in this type of business. Chemist societies, things like that, so that we may keep ourselves up to date. We take quite a few magazines from environmental groups, regulatory agencies, things like that, to keep ourselves on top of what the newest and the latest regulations are.
Do you want to do this always, and is this your chosen career?
Not really. I kind of got into this business, and I kind of backed into it. I was wanting to get into the healthcare field, and those opportunities didn't arise at the time when I was getting out of college. And my opportunity to come to Guardian was open. I was real aware of the environment, concerned over where the environmental movement was going. I was concerned about it, but I got into it. It's very interesting in a variety of things that I see and do, but it was not necessarily my chosen career. I'd like to stay in it for a while to do what I can, to help what I can, but I would like to perhaps move on back to the healthcare field.
Okay, are there any environmental organizations you belong to?
No, not right now. I really haven't had time. The environmental field is such a booming field. We stay constantly busy. Our workload is quite high right now due to the increased regulations and things like that. And with more and more businesses, industries, and municipalities having to fall under government regulation, it doesn't allow for a whole lot of free time at work. There are people on staff here who are members of several chemist associations, environmental testing lab associations, things like that, but I personally am not.
Do you feel like the environmental movement is moving in the right direction?
It's almost a trick question, isn't it? The movement for the environmental field needs to be moving toward a more healthy and more clean environment. As with any movement or organization or thought process, there can be extremes. Many times we see on the news, in the papers, these people who go to extremes to protect the environment or to protect whatever their cause may be. But I feel that it's moving in the right direction. I don't necessarily agree with some of the steps that some people take. I think there needs to be more dialogue, talking, compromising between industry and those concerned with the environment. Radical action is not the way to go, I don't think.
Okay, is it going to take the big business giant to open his eyes before a change is made?
Well, I think it's going to take some awareness on their part, not necessarily for them to totally turn around in their train of thought, but the big business is where the power's at. You know, these guys who run, you know, large steel plants, you know, R.J. Reynolds with all their tobacco plantations, you know, Philip Morris, these huge conglomerates, they have considerable power in Washington. And really, Washington is where the changes will be made. I think it's going to take some, not necessarily complete turnarounds on their part, but they're going to have to wake up and realize that you can't just use and use and use and not get anything, you know, to be passed on to your kids. You know, it's going to take more than just the big guys, too. You know, that's will be a big turning point for the power and the political minds to move on. But there has to be a grassroots kind of thing, too. You know, the little people, me and you. You know, there's a lot of ways to get involved.
How does the average individual voice is concerned about the environment?
Well, like I said a minute ago, you know, you get with your legislator, your senator, or representative, or whoever. That's one way of doing it. But, I mean, if you really want to get personally involved, I guess you could join one of these ecological groups. You know, there's so many of them out there. You just choose the one that best suits you and your agenda. You know, how much you want to get involved. You know, there's Audubon Society or Nature Conservancy, or if you really want to, go to Greenpeace. But there's a lot of different organizations that are specifically geared toward cleaning the environment or making environmental issues public. You know, whether it be on TV or newspaper, whatever type of media it is, one of their primary concerns is to spread the word that the environment is important. And it'll take a lot of little people, you know, common man like you and me, to get the attention of the big corporate conglomerates. You know, we're the ones that buy their products, use their services, smoke their cigarettes or whatever, drink their beer. You know, it's going to take a, you know, we're the ones who's paying their salary. And if enough people get together who have concerns over the environment and let it be known to them, then maybe they'll move on things. You know, a lot of these people, they don't think about what they're doing now, how it's going to affect people down the road. They're looking at it because they're making the money now. You know, that's what the big problem is, I see, in the environmental field. Environmental affairs is money. Too many people trying to make money without putting some money back into preserving the environment. Whether it be through testing like we do here, or preserving the resources that people are exploiting now, whether it's to clean up after they've used something, reclaiming land after they've been surface mined, or reestablishing wetlands that were drained to harvest trees or minerals or whatever was used from the area.